Winslow.
Winslow. Kellen Winslow's son.
Yeah. I wonder how he's doing.
I don't know. He was like a Cat 3, and he talked about going, he wanted to go pro.
Right. Conor McGregor, he's cycling for training for his last fight.
Eric Burns, the baseball player for the Oakland A's.
An ultra runner.
Yeah, he's like ultra, well, he does like both, all three sports. Our running, swing, he does triathlon type stuff.
Reggie Miller. He's a mountain biker.
Really?
Is he really?
He really is, yeah. 6'8" or 6'6".
I bet he just has Spike Lee yelling at him the whole time. Episode 25, Between Two Wheels podcast. Cycling news, commentary, analysis, and interviews from Northern California. This episode is brought to you by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people get special life insurance rates. Go to healthiq.com/BTW to support the show and learn more. We are broadcasting live from the Auburn Coffee Company with Kurt Mills and Chris Flower, and this is Tyler Yonke. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Tyler. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was pretty good. A lot of food. We did a three family. First of all, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I was just excited to hear about your Thanksgiving.
We did a multiple family, like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing, and so I'm a little overwhelmed with food right now. So how about you, Kurt?
It was good. Yeah, we had actually Friday, we had like a little Friendsgiving thing, a little too much to drink, but feeling
Friendsgiving?
Good. Yeah, like a little Friendsgiving.
And you do Festivus too, don't you? For Christmas.
I'm not old enough. I don't. What's Festivus?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you should get current on Festivus. It's an important holiday.
The feats of strength.
Chris? Aluminum pole, perhaps? Do you have one of those?
No. Never mind.
Chris, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was really low key. We just had a small dinner at home and a limited amount of food, which is good, I think.
Well, I did go riding. I don't know. Chris went Friday riding. I don't know if Kurt did, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First of all, since it's a holiday and we have the Thanksgiving thing going, I thought we'd go out there and say, go around the horn and mention some things that we're thankful for. All cycling related, so we're not going to get too far off topic here. First of all, I just, you know, this came up and I was thinking about it the other day. I am thankful for myself at least getting fewer flat tires than normal.
I thought you were going to end it right there.
It'd be a good spot. I'm
thankful for myself. And Chris?
And no one else is. No, I don't get flat tires like I used to. And I don't. It's not because I just don't ride enough. I actually think it's because... I'm curious what it really is. I don't know if it's better tires we're getting now, better tubes, the actual wheels themselves. My theory is I'm not personally pumping my tires up to, you know, 120 anymore like you used to think you had to. It's down around 80 or 90 PSI, so perhaps that's part of the, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, actually this whole off season, I think I've ridden in the last 3 weeks probably about 10 or 12 hours, a lot of them on group rides, not one flat anywhere. It's on Zwift, but zero flats on Zwift anywhere ever. But
that's the safest place to ride,
even in the gravel sections.
There was that what, 2 weeks in a row there on a Wednesday ride, you had to like a blowout, like double, and but then that was probably because your actual tire was like shredded.
Was that this year?
Yeah, that was okay. This year. It was near the end of there. Some other things I loved, social networking and the ability to connect and just instantly have a group. Go out and ride, connect up for, you know, going to do a group ride, anything. It's pretty awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah, actually, that was Facebook. One of the things I was going to mention. Strong cycling communities. Sacramento's obviously huge. Having left that region, or at least that local area, I can definitely tell it's a lot harder to go out and cycle. And now when I drive into like the Folsom area and you see everybody out riding their bikes, you sense that peer pressure that you don't necessarily feel in the foothills.
So, yeah. And even being able, you know, one of the other things is like power meters, being able to be more efficient on the bike, but being able to upload your rides to Strava or, you know, Training Peaks, but Strava especially, because it's, once again, it's that peer pressure of, well, I'm doing it. Here's what I'm doing. Here's my riding. And it's the accountability factor that goes along with it, which is kind of cool.
Right. You kind of drill in on people's rides and you say, okay, well, he rode 4 hours, but he didn't do anything. So I don't feel too bad.
Well, they rode an hour and they rode really hard.
But it was only an hour.
That's true.
You always discount it, whatever they've done.
Do you have that feeling sometimes when you get an email and you've lost a KOM.
Yes.
I just don't have any KOM, so I don't ever get the email.
Yeah, there you go.
And you start researching the person. Like, you've never paid for an investigative search on someone before, but you're like, well, $5 to figure out where this guy lives and, you know, whether he's married or what's going on in his life. It doesn't seem like a lot of money. Yeah, I've looked at people pretty hard after they take a KOM.
Well, now you're making me look at you pretty hard because that's just disturbing.
I never actually paid money.
Oh well, it's all forgiven then. Yeah. Dark web, though, right? That's where you make your inroads.
Exactly, yeah.
So what about you? What are you thankful for, Kurt?
Well, I already said I was thankful for the strong cycling community in the area. I think that's primarily. The other thing would be the off-season. No weekday rides or races, so you don't have any pressure. Thankful for that.
There's still weekend rides that you need to be on form for, though. So you can't really slack off too much.
I've got a built-in excuse with the commute, so...
That's true.
Yeah, no, I'm doing good.
And we did have... I don't know if you actually saw it, Kurt, but there was a Facebook post about you this weekend, really? And the Coffee Republic ride. So maybe we'll go into that a little later. Because I'm also thankful for social networking and the shaming, public shaming that can happen.
Okay.
That wasn't a shaming post.
No, it wasn't.
I think it was very complimentary.
It was, but I was trying to make him a little nervous.
Okay. I will.
You should get online right now. Research that.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris, what about you?
I'd have to say it's an easy one for me to go to. It's just the local riding scene in terms of the roads that we have at our disposal. This morning I was able to jump out with Nate and just hit 30, 40 miles and get 3,000 feet of climbing in and in our backyard and minimal car action. So it's a really great place to ride. I've had the fortune of going down to the Bay Area riding here and there, and it's definitely a little more easy to get out and get away from the world up here. So I'm really thankful that we have that right in our backyard.
Yeah, and where you live, especially like me, we live nearby each other, and right. It's easy. Not as easy as, I mean, Kurt just walks out his door and he's already away from most people.
Yeah, but like I was saying earlier, it's nice to have people out on rides, which I just don't see where I'm at, and it's so cool in our area, not only to have good roads, but I mean, there's, you go out on a Saturday or a Sunday, just even driving around like I've been recently, you see so many people out riding their bikes. It's crazy. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else there, Chris?
That's it.
Just the roads.
I think we've covered the
chamois cream. I want to throw out there for the obvious reasons. And Black Friday. Did anybody get any good cycling deals?
I did not.
Yeah. I'm pretty well stocked.
I got some new tires that were like literally half off. So I'm looking forward to that. And that goes into my fewer flats. Hopefully that'll continue.
True. Yeah. Okay.
So we had Thanksgiving, and with that comes this big ass ride out of Sacramento, the Thanksgiving Day ride. Chris, you joined up on that this time. I went and did my own little thing later on in the day, but why don't you tell us a little bit about that ride and your experience out there on it?
Yeah, it was. It's an annual ride, Thanksgiving ride, and it usually draws a couple hundred people. And today, or this year, was pretty similar. There must have been, it felt like 200, 300 people out there, all varying levels of riding ability. And it goes from, I guess, Bellebrew and Sac. I don't usually start there. I catch it on its way out in Rancho Cordova. Rolls out to Rancho Marietta on some country roads. And it's a pretty casual scene on the way out. There's one little punchy climb before you get to the turnaround point that a few guys really go after and make a hard effort on that. But for the most part, it was pretty mellow. There was a little bit of scary centerline crossing action, which is par for the course for a ride of that nature, where there's no shoulder and guys are wanting to move up and jump across the centerline into oncoming traffic and causes a scare for everybody. But other than that, it was pretty well behaved. As you get back into Rancho Cordova from the turnaround, there's definitely a non-sprint sprint finish where the pace gets ramped up pretty hard. And this year was no exception, and everybody was generally safe. So it was a good ride overall.
And that goes out on that White Rock Road, which I don't think other than that day I would ever ride on there, on my bike on there.
I rode on it as part of a triathlon.
Well, so it was sanctioned. Yeah. Okay.
Outside of that, no, there's no shoulder. It's probably a 55 mile an hour stretch of road.
Suggested speed,
yeah. No, it's definitely not that. And Scott Road, I wouldn't ride Scott Road with the exception of this ride either. It's just
so, Did you say how many people showed up on that?
My guesstimate was somewhere 200, 300. Hard to say. I didn't do a head count.
That's a huge field. Did you have fun out there?
I enjoyed it. Overall, it was, like I said, it was a pretty mellow atmosphere. Everybody just wanted to get out and not ride too hard, but hang out and ride.
Any celebrities out on there? Did you? Besides yourself.
Besides myself. I mean, I did have to sign a few autographs here and there once people realized who I was. I went out in incognito kit so I wouldn't be spotted. But no, there's World Tour Pro Riders in town. Max Schachman. I'm not sure to pronounce his last name. But he was out on the ride and, you know, he seemed like he was just enjoying himself, pedaling along. So.
Yeah, was there a big? Was he like a bunch of flies around? I mean, like people like congregating
not
to get
too
his,
much. No.
His signature or some conversation with it. He speaks German, I believe.
I would assume he does, but no, he's pretty mellow, blended in relatively well.
So maybe we can talk now about why I hate that ride so much.
Why do you hate that ride?
I honestly don't know.
Done the ride?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
If I hadn't, I would be a little hypocritical.
There's rides I haven't done that I hate.
Yeah, there's other things you hate that you've never done.
True. No, but I could actually speak from... I don't understand. I was thinking about it today, and I believe my distaste for it is simply due to my moving on and not having a lot of time for training myself. So I don't want to waste an entire day of, you know, how long was the ride?
2 hours.
2 hours.
55 miles.
55 miles, maybe 10 TSS for the day.
I got 190.
Did you really?
I did.
All right. Well, maybe my theories are breaking down quick, but I don't
it
know.
It wasn't
I just don't
training time.
Yeah, though. And I would rather, I mean, I went out and, you know, got 100 TSS for me, you know, about 2,500, 3,000 feet of climbing and just hammered out for an hour or a half or so. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely not a ride where you want to go out and hit 2x20s or try and maximize your time on the bike. It's much more just kind of a social mingle on the bike type of scene.
I'm not advocating for it to go away. I'm just saying, for me, it's not ideal.
Okay.
Have you done it, Kurt?
I have, yeah.
And what is your thought on it?
It's fun. I mean, it's not a training ride, but it's fun to go out in the winter and see 200, 300 people on a bike ride. For free.
I don't think the cars that were coming around were as excited about it.
Yeah. I always felt like there's like one or two cars that seems angry, especially on the way back as it gets later in the morning.
Right.
But on the way out, I always thought it was pretty... I was surprised how few cars there were going out that
we
direction.
We had one give us a really close
inspection
buzz through once they once we turned around, we're coming back. Other than that, it wasn't too bad.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see who won.
Who won?
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't like it. Who won?
I think everybody won. I feel like I won.
I think you just solidified why I hate it so much. Everyone gets a trophy.
So since it was Thanksgiving, I went out and rode and tried to build up a little calorie deficit. What did you guys do for Thanksgiving? And we talked a little about your 3 days of binging. Did you kind of keep it mellow? Did you try and minimize your intake knowing that the race season's around the corner, or did you just let it all go and eat everything in sight?
Kurt?
Well, Kurt apparently had quite a night of drinking.
Oh, that's right. He had
that
a
was Friday.
Friendsgiving. He was
so
was there a fishbowl with car keys?
No, we don't have a fishbowl. I don't have a fish. Or fishes. Or fish. I don't know what it is. In any event, no,
school.
I didn't do anything for It's the off season. I have not been prepping for starving myself to feel
no?
better
okay.
later. Yeah, no. Good for you, though.
I mean, I didn't necessarily starve myself either. I just didn't go over the top. I tried to keep it reasonable so that I could ride the next day and not feel completely defeated.
Yeah, no, good for you. I mean, a lot of people are doing that, I'm sure. I remember that was the one thing I remember about the Thanksgiving Day ride is you would go out there and you would sort of look at people and say, oh, okay, like that guy's been riding a little bit or that guy's not been riding at all.
Right.
So, yeah, it's always interesting.
I tried to keep my – I went and rode in the morning, and so then we had lunch or whatever in the afternoon, and I also did that on Friday. I skipped Saturday because we went down to San Jose and – I usually go down there and where my in-laws live, I can ride over this climb called Quimby. It's really nasty. And actually, it's the descent that they were Squeens came and wrecked in the Tour of California at the
right,
bottom
right.
there. it's that climb with the descent, and I'll go up that, and it's pretty nasty, really. It's
Did you see if there was a seam in the road that he may have
I
hit?
Didn't go this time.
Oh, okay.
But that road goes right behind their house, and so I didn't ride, and it was gorgeous weather. But yeah, I'm trying to keep my fitness, you know, at some sort of level right this time of year, and I feel like I'm doing okay. Because I hate that. You know, maybe I've gone over this way too many times, but when you don't train a ton, you know, I kind of have to, everything's on edge. So you miss a week and it really hampers you more and more. So I've tried to be a little bit more on edge. Yeah. I'm trying to do that all winter, take care of myself. And it didn't work out the last few days.
Yeah.
I didn't even go today. And you did, Chris, and it was raining. It's raining right now as we're talking in the afternoon.
Yeah. I made sure to get out really early in the morning.
Like what, 5 or 6 or something?
I left my house at 6:30, joined up with Nate, who had left his place at 6, and we did a couple hours just to get a ride in before the rain hit, and it was nice. A little early for my usual riding preference, though.
Yeah, it looks like it starts to get cold next weekend, too, so yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, they'll go back inside. But, okay, so we also had this weekend the River Ride World Championships. So the River Ride is this ride here in Sacramento. Those don't know, it's a pretty big deal. It's been around for, what, 70s?
Sure.
You know, pros would come do it, and it's a pretty fast-paced race ride type of thing that goes all week. They have multiple days in the week, and they have the weekend. Saturday is the big one. So anyway, they do like a World Championships, kind of a year-end thing. It's I don't know what it is. But you went out there, Chris. You did not do it. You missed it, but you got a little report from it. Why don't you let us know what happened? First of all, do you have any idea how far it is?
The World Championship race?
Yeah.
I think it's a slightly longer route. So they kind of do a hybrid of the Thursday and Saturday routes. So it does a full loop around the airport, then it does the loop through the airport before coming back through the S-turns and the usual finish. And like I said, I didn't do the actual ride this year. I just happened to get down into the area shortly after it wrapped up and ran into a few people that were on their way home. It sounds like the group more or less stayed together this time. The pace was pretty high. There were a few attempted breaks, but nothing stuck. And then from what I was told, coming into the sprint finish, Josh Wood had an early jump, and he was able to hold everybody off and take the win. So.
Do you know who he
beat?
Hats
off to him. I think he beat Chris Espy in the sprint, and I think Chris Espy may have been trying to get John Fairbanks into position for the sprint, but too little too late is what it sounded like.
So Fairbanks, last I knew, he was riding for Rio. Is he joining up with them this year then?
I think that might be the case, unless they were just feeling extra generous with their lead out to set him up.
Gotcha. And Josh Wood, anybody know anything about him? Seems like a new name or a name I haven't heard of.
I don't know a lot about him. I've seen him out on a few rides. He's been out on the River Ride quite a bit this year. He's come out to a couple Wednesday night rides as well. And I think his background is predominantly in ice skating, speed skating.
Figure?
Definitely a fit-looking guy.
Figure skating?
I do not know.
We could cut that. No. Okay.
Yeah, that's...
No, speed skaters, fine. I mean, those are no joke for, you know... crossing over into bike racing.
Yeah, definitely.
Who was the guy, the Olympian?
Eric Heiden. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's happened.
Yeah. He did the 80... Well, he was with the 86 Tour de France with 7-Eleven, I think.
Right.
Well.
Yeah. Okay. Won U.S. championships as well. And course states, they used to call it in Philly. I believe he won it twice, I want to say. Yeah, big boy that can put the power down. So evidently Josh Wood can as well. So why doesn't Coffee Republic have a world championship season ending ride?
I think that would just be a disaster in that final sprint.
Especially when we all regroup at the top of the climb.
I think it would have to be
through.
A non-regroup day for that to be valid.
Which would actually, then it wouldn't be as chaotic for the sprint because it would
true.
Be all decimated out. Do you know of any other local ride or Bay Area rides that are this have this much notoriety? Is that the word? This much
notoriety.
There you go. Thank you. Notoriety for you know, prestige, and like a season-ending type of race like this. They even give out a jersey and I think a trophy, chicken or something like that.
I don't think they do the chicken.
No, okay. They still do the jersey.
I think they did the jersey 1 year.
Kurt, were you were an unofficial or self-proclaimed winner 1 year? Correct.
Well, if you check the video, a few people went over the center line, so...
If you didn't, if you didn't go over the center line on a river ride, you're the only one.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure if you if the video went further back, I crossed the center line.
At
some point. I know I crossed the center line chasing someone's wheel.
I've seen some nasty. Well, it just happens with all the group rides, and I'm at the point in my life now where I just don't feel like it's necessary to care that much about the result of the ride to risk my life. You know, by going over the center line, or I was out there on the river ride once a few years ago, and this pretty well-known rider attacks from like midfield over the center line, and he basically does a chicken with the car coming at him, and the car pulls over on off the road, and he then diverts himself to the it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And,
yeah,
and everyone just like, oh, that was a good attack.
I remember the River Ride World Championship a few years ago, riding in the oncoming traffic lane, so the left lane, and then having cars pass us in the proper lane because it
was. Was there a crosswind?
There was a crosswind.
Well,
yeah.
Then you had to, right?
Well, no, it was so terrible. And then the confusion that ensued because people started to then get behind the car, and it was the last time I've ever done that ride, and I won't do it again, especially because everybody takes that one a little bit more seriously, and then everyone's on, you know, semi poor fitness or not. I mean, it's not great fitness, and it's just a weird ride to me.
When I first started riding here in Sacramento, which was, I don't know, when was that, 2012 or so, on a weekly basis, and I joined up with Rio, and they had people were going back and forth on emails about different group rides, and they were talking about how dangerous the Coffee Republic ride was, and it was just the most dangerous thing. And then they're like, oh, come out for the generic. It's this ride that starts down by Sac State. And we did this, and rotating knives, a haul of rotating knives would have been safer. I was like, wait, then this Coffee Republic ride must just be where you go perpendicular to traffic on the 80, because this is the most, it's crazy. It's like serpentine all through these communities. You're running every stop sign possible. So anyway, I think the most dangerous ride in town is that one, simply for traffic.
Yeah, I would agree. Just, right, you're taking blind lefts into like oncoming traffic across stop signs. It looks terrible. So, yeah,
so much agree. Like your disdain for the Thanksgiving ride. I've never done the generic ride, but I hate it.
But if you look on Strava, I think I have the KOM from the start to the finish. So nice. There's that.
Really?
Go figure. I don't know how that happened. Yeah. One day it was a really fast ride.
Huh.
I hung on.
On the generic?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay.
Anyway, we don't have to keep going down that road, but. So did you talk to anybody out there, Chris, specifically about it? I mean, did anybody have anything to say about how it went down?
Not really. I didn't get much feedback on that. There's, like I said, the most feedback I got is that Josh played his hand well and jumped at the right time and was able to sneak the win in.
Nobody had excuses. Somebody had an excuse for why that happened.
I didn't hang around
right?
too long to really dig into the meat of it.
That is the best, right? The excuses that come out.
Right. Well, they went too late.
I missed a shift.
Right.
Boxed in.
Right. Nobody knew who Josh was, so they let him go. Turns out he could hold it.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's usually a lot of excuses.
Well, as I've talked to with different, I think like Willie and Andrew, you know, you talk about cycling and your moral worth that's tied to it at times. So if you don't come up with an excuse and you didn't do well, I mean, you're basically going to go home and flog yourself. So, cause you're a horrible person, right? So you have to get a good excuse. And these are how we continue on with this sport, Kurt. So
correct. Yeah.
I'd hope you know that.
I preloaded my excuse just by not even participating. Then I couldn't actually feel how much of a loser I was.
Did you ride a time
through,
trial bike down there?
I did. just for effect.
Just to, yeah.
I'm really yourself. Not participating.
Oh yeah. I'm really focused on the TT next year.
Right.
Yeah. That's exceptional. We had some cross racing going on. Give us your, you had mentioned we had two of our road teammates, Jeff Scott and Scott Hooper, that went head to head in a cross race just recently. Chris, did you see some, what do you know about that?
So this was last weekend. It was the Sunday SAC cyclocross race, and, Jeff and Scott both sent us kind of their play-by-play of the race that day. And it sounds like the field's a little small. Numbers were somewhere between 4 and 50. Just depends on which results sheet you look at. But it sounds like the field broke up pretty quick, and there were a couple of mechanicals that kind of left the 1-2 spots in Jeff and Scott's hand, and they came back together just before the final turn into the sprint, and it ended up being a 2-up sprint. And looks like, from the stories that I heard, Jeff was able to sneak around Scott to take the win. There were some really cool photos that were floating around on the web on social media of those two just going at it. Looked like a fun race. Looked like obviously a great result for both those guys.
Yeah, I actually posted from our Between Two Wheels Facebook page a picture of them coming across the finish, and it's pretty good. And there was a sequence that was kind of cool. You know, some cycling pictures are just awesome, and this was like a sequence of them coming around the last bit, and Jeff is kind of coming up the barrier, and right. Scott Hooper's kind of coming into him more of an angle, and it's just a really cool sequence showing him come across the line as Jeff gets the win, which, you know, good for him.
That's, yeah, I saw that impressive. As well. It was pretty cool.
Do you know how many more are in the series for the cyclocross? Have you checked that out to know?
I think there's about 3 or 4 of those left. I know John Novikov was out there as well, and he had a decent race in the B field. It looks like there is 3 more races left in the series, and those are all in December.
Gotcha. Speaking of our Facebook page, so what's kind of fun to do, what we noticed last time was we post out the episode, and I forward it off from the Facebook page, kind of get it out there in the social media world, and then Brian Zimney goes play-by-play and corrects, makes corrections on the Facebook page to our podcast. So thanks, Brian. And you know, he's right. I mean, opinions you can't be wrong with, right, Kurt? But facts that we were getting wrong, he was posting up the corrections, and I appreciate it. And you can also see then at what point he's getting to what point in the show.
That's right. He comments as he listens.
He does.
It's like having a buddy right there.
Yes. We love Brian Zimney, so thank you once again for that.
He's a good fact checker.
Also a fan of the chamois cream.
He is,
Brian Zimney.
Is he?
Yeah. You guys don't remember that?
No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what this is about.
Never mind.
Is this an inside joke that we don't want to bring out?
It was just something that came out in one of Brian's comments. We were talking about Facebook comments.
A breakdown in Facebook for us?
Sure, he can answer the question.
Please do that, Brian.
He does have I talked to Brian about this at some point. He does have an issue with cramping. It's pretty severe. Like, and he's tried everything. I mean, pickle juice, all these other things that are going around, and who knows what it is. And so I'm always, if I'm in a race with him and I know he's dangerous, I'm just hoping he's cramping. Because he's a danger. No, I don't hope that. But
ask him about his disc brakes.
Okay, I like his battles on the American River
bike trail.
Yeah, with a certain someone. So
he's got a lot of first world problems.
He does. He's a funny guy too. So we also had anything else from the cross?
That's all I've got. We'll have to get in touch with Jeff and Scott to get a better breakdown of how that. Final 100 yards played
out. Thanksgiving is tough for me to get back into cross. I don't know what that has to do with it, but I think
the real cross season starts today, just looking outside.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, if you look at the results at the moment, I don't know who's winning. It's probably AJ, or AJ's got to be close.
Yeah, I think he was.
But December, with the rain coming, we're gonna see some changes, I would bet. Go ahead.
So Scott's actually leading the series.
Scott Hooper?
Yes, he is. Okay. For the men's A.
Then maybe we won't see any changes. Maybe it'll just it'll stay Scott Hooper the rest of the way. He's really good in the mud.
I imagine that's a completely different type of riding when you start getting all in the mud and the
Do we grind. Have a lot of rain in the forecast? Or I thought it was just this one day. I don't know how that'll affect the courses they've got planned.
Yeah. Were they racing today?
Farmer's Almanac. December's always a rainy month, guys.
Is it? Okay.
Go on.
Last two.
They're
two
not.
Years
I don't think they're racing today. This weekend off.
This weekend there are no races.
Correct. Yeah. Tyler, why don't you cyclocross? Why have you never tried it?
We got to get a completely different bike. Okay. And then it seems, I like it. It looks fun. I'm not a strong runner. I run fine. I tore my Achilles a few years ago, and this is my excuse now. I'm just refusing to do that kind of activity.
Okay. That's fair. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, some things you just better be a spectator at, you know, than being a participant.
Sure.
So that's what I've chosen to do here. I was a spectator a little bit of the Tour of Rwanda. Were you a spectator of that? We're going to go through some Northern California highlights of different people. Cam Piper he's riding with Illuminate. Is that correct? I think that's
yes, that's
Illuminate.
Correct.
And he had done that KOM ride over in Taiwan and had done really, you know, you look at that, he put some time into Phil Guymon, who's a world tour rider and still used to be former, but you know, retired at the top. He still, you know, pretends to be, and he did quite well. And then he goes over and does the Tour of Rwanda and gets third on the final stage. I think he was in the top 20 some, and his teammate was up there as well. It's pretty impressive. That race is getting more and more notoriety, and it's a prologue and seven stages. So it's no easy feat actually.
No, definitely. It's gaining some steam, that's for sure. So it's a good performance on Cam's part.
Great job, Cam. I don't know. I didn't watch the Tour of Rwanda.
I didn't watch either. I just thought we'd throw it out there. Another guy that signed, I saw this on Facebook as well, Eamon Lucas. We've probably all raced against him. He had raced with the NCCF Specialized Junior Racing Team in 2010. And then did his U23 career with Cal Giant Specialized. And I saw where he just had signed up with Delta Cycling, a Netherlands team. He's going to be doing some YouTube channel vlog, video blog type of thing. And so if you want to, you know, find him on the NCCA Facebook page, I think he posted on there. So you can kind of follow him along and see how he's doing over in Europe this year. That might be kind of interesting. One last thing I saw here was... on the NCNCA Facebook page, multiple teams were posting for you to try out and to join their teams. I just thought I'd pass some of this along. These are all, it looks like all these recruitment rides are in the past, but you know, I mean, hey, if you're out there.
Still show up.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say show up, but maybe contact them. I think the JL Velo Cycling team, I think that's a mostly female dominated team. Could be wrong. I could be right. I don't know. But check them out. They were looking for riders. The San Jose Bike Club team, teamsanjose.org. And then Main Street Elite cycling team as well. I think that's where they had that new race this year out there.
Lakeport,
yeah. So they said they were desperate for riders. And they had some like decent stuff. If you want to, you know, deal on a bike, I think they were riding Giants or Specialized. I'm not sure which one of those. Some other stuff. So, you know. If you're looking for a team, maybe those are some ones that can give you some support, and good luck.
Cool.
Yeah. So coming up here, we got about a month before we get our first race of the season, which is a San Bruno Hill Climb. I never do it. Anybody here has done it? No?
I have not done it, and I probably will not do it this year.
Yeah, so our first race will probably be closer to the end of January, which is going to be Land Park. Other than that, there's the early bird stuff, right? Have you done any of those?
I did a couple of them 2 or 3 years ago, and it was good. It was an opportunity to get out and do some testing of your race fitness and see kind of where you were at. I haven't done them recently, and the biggest challenge for me is it's a bit of a trek to get down there, and I think they're usually on Sunday, and the P12 race is usually like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So doing that race and then trying to drive home and in the Sunday traffic is not that fun, but it's definitely a well-run and well-organized event and a good opportunity for folks to get out and not just do a simulated race, but also get some instruction on race tactics and riding.
Yeah, I agree. It is fun because it like if you're nervous about where your fitness is, you can go down there and do a couple of those races and kind of get a feel for what everybody's riding like.
Is it all categories?
Yes.
Yeah, throughout the day.
Okay, and then so it's just like normal, but...
Right. And actually, I don't know if a lot of people did this, it probably wouldn't work, but you can go down there early and sort of sign up as a mentor and ride on the back of categories. and help groups that get dropped off and stuff. So you can get a bunch of miles in if you really wanted to, as long as you're nice when you ask, probably.
No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in between the races, they do quite a few clinics. So they work with the folks that haven't done much racing or no racing at all and kind of help them work on cornering, where you need to position yourself, where to and where not to apply brakes, and all that good stuff. So it's a really well-run and really, really well-respected event.
Where are those located typically?
They're in Fremont.
Fremont, okay. I have two juniors in my household that are somewhat interested in riding, so maybe we'll have to venture down for that. That might be good for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because they have medic. They have a medic on staff, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they do.
That's important for those guys. So, anything else on early season racing schedule? We'll just kind of wait till we get into that, I guess. So.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the first one I'll hit is probably Cal Aggie.
All right. Kurt, you've got a new one in your household. You've got a young dog.
Yes.
Chris, you're married.
Yes.
I have a wife and four kids. These things are all very, very important to us, which leads us into, are you taking care of your life insurance? Have you done anything for that? You've got a dog now.
I do have a life insurance plan through my employer. Yes. Okay.
So you've at least taken that into consideration. I have as well. Chris?
I have as well.
Yes. Okay. So if you out there are looking for life insurance and life insurance rates, our podcast, this episode is sponsored by Health IQ, and they're for health conscious people, people who are out there and active. They can vegans. They listed vegans as part of the
people who listen to this podcast.
People probably. That listen to this podcast, runners, weightlifters. And one of the ways they do that is when you go, so go to healthiq.com/BTW. That's healthiq.com/BTW to find more, to get some, check out what you can do for rates and to also help support this show. And they will send you through a process where they will be able to validate your activity, Strava, race results, some other, I don't know, weightlifting benchmarks, different things that you can do. And you basically,
so if you're behind on your training, they can say, look,
I don't know if they give, recommendations,
any coaching advice that they can offer.
I'm sure we can push them towards that. But, at this point, it's probably not, related to that. No.
Okay.
Yeah. So for health conscious people, you want to be able to get better rates and, you know, basically participate in that active lifestyle and be able to reap the rewards that you should be getting. Go to healthiq.com/BTW.
So if you want to tell somebody about how your training's going, how your nutrition is, all the rides you've done, you can call them up and just tell them. You can just download right to them.
This is not for the lonely to just give a call up and start rambling on about. No. At this point, maybe start your own blog. I know Strava Premium, you can start doing your own postings there. Maybe that's what you should be doing, Kurt.
I think they could call Health IQ and get a quote.
Yeah.
And,
But anyway, you help support the show. On to other things in the news. I saw this here. Maybe you guys can help me out a little bit. So Aru, he has signed with the UAE team. And now, you know, look, news out there in cycling is a little thin. So this is what we get out of this. He has decided he's going to do the Vuelta and the Giro, and he's really going to focus on the Giro. And he also says, hey, Froome, you should come do this. He really wants Froome to do it. Froome, though, is going to be going for his fifth Tour de France title. Do you think, and he just came off, remember, he did the Tour, then he does the Vuelta, and then he's going to be going and doing, if he does fall into a ruse,
trap.
Thank you. He will then have done three straight tours in a row. And what do you think, Kurt? What do you think his options are for doing the Giro? You think he should do that or just focus solely on the Tour?
I would love to see him go for the Giro. I think it'd be exciting to watch. But if I were him, I'd probably focus on getting the fifth Tour.
Get it out of the way.
Yes.
So you don't think he's going to fall for this trap? Even Eddie Merckx has come out and said they. Now, do you think Eddie Merckx is saying, "Hey, you should go for the Giro," just so that now that Lance is kind of wiped off the record books, he doesn't get another five tour winner in there?
Is that what Eddie said? Is he's told him to go for it?
Yeah,
he said he has to do it.
Oh really? Well, if you have to.
Okay, I haven't
followed
this story.
As a competitor, you must do it. Is his general tone?
Yeah, whatever. I doubt he'll fall for that trap. It seems like he's a pretty disciplined guy. He knows what he wants to do. I think he's going to stick with what's been working and go just focus on the tour like he's always done. Why screw it up now? He could always go for the Giro next year.
I agree.
The year after this next
year. The year after that one.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he obviously won two last year, and it seems like they've been able to double up or at least come out and do really well with the Tour of Vuelta combo, but not the Giro Tour combo. I don't know if that's – it looked like maybe he was a little latent in his fitness on the Tour, and he just really came in blazing on the Vuelta. But, you know, Contador and Nairo have both tried to do Giro Tour double and failed. I wouldn't say miserably, but they failed.
Yeah, I would guess that's probably really hard to do. It seems like even when Lance made his comeback, I remember him doing the Giro. I think isn't that where he broke his collarbone ultimately that first year?
I don't remember. I just remember the only thing I remember about him doing the Giro that year was that he was hanging out with Ted King.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're doing it, you're doing it for fitness to go into the Tour, but you wouldn't ride it like you were trying to win it. And trying to win it and having to carry that fitness from the end of the Giro into the Tour would just be, it's a long stretch. What is that, a month and a half?
Because the Giro's in May,
yeah,
and then you've got June. Well, but what's the difference between that and the Tour?
A week later, right?
Well, that's right. We did find that out because of the soccer. Right.
Yeah, so it seems like that might – that's another week you got to carry fitness. That would be very – seems like it's real difficult, which means you got to keep your weight down, which means you got to not get sick. Not to mention you got to survive that 3 weeks of racing without a major crash. So I don't know. I doubt he does it.
What's your favorite Grand Tour, Chris?
I've really actually started liking the Giro a little more. I think it's cool routes. It's a different time of year, and it's looks like it's more willing to try new routes and new ideas and make it a more exciting event.
So, Kurt?
Well, what about you? What do you think?
I have different reasons for liking different races, aesthetically, and I think I love the Giro. There's something about some of those climbs, too, that are pretty fascinating. You can have some sloppy wetness. Right. Remember the Cadel Evans winning with his rainbow jersey on a really wet, nasty day, and it was gorgeous. It's just the whole process, right? It's awesome.
Yeah.
But the Tour is still the Tour, and there's nothing that jacks you up more than watching this bike race. Yeah. Dan, and every day it's like, well, it's a Tour de France, and sometimes it's disappointing every single day, but you're so excited about the next day that your whole summer's planned out. I mean, all of July, every day, we're watching it, and that doesn't happen with the Giro and the Vuelta. But so I have different reasons for liking. When you have some really good climbers and really good competition, the Giro is one of the best to watch, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Vuelta and the Giro both have stepped up big time. Like, the climbs they're throwing into those races are insane. I mean, they're going into those 20% grades all the time, it seems like. They've got climbing days that are stacked on top of each other more than, like, the Tour does. The Tour almost seems just so – there's, like, this formula to win it. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's just that there's so much analysis done that you kind of know what's going – it feels like you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And everybody's just on perfect form, so everything's just kind of laid out for the Tour. So there's not usually a lot of surprises. The other two, it seems like there's a few surprises. And to me, it's always the last couple of years, at least, the other two tours have been more exciting to watch. But
I would agree. I think the sprint finishes in the Tour proper are more of a spectacle, and usually you get the top end competitors, and that makes it a little more exciting.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Finishing on the Champs-Élysées is always really cool to watch as well.
What you mentioned about the fitness is something we had talked about with the Vuelta is what's your motivation for coming into the Vuelta? Is this a race that your team just kind of put you in? Is this a focus? Are you hoping to do something? You know, that also happens sometimes with the Giro, but that never happens with the Tour. You don't say, I mean, either the guy timed his fitness right or he didn't, but that is his goal, right?
Right.
It's not... He's there and he's hoping to kind of do well, and it that doesn't happen. So that's what's cool about that race. You get selected now with the only eight riders. You get selected for that one. That's a tough race. Also, I heard that I'm trying to remember who it was that was pushing for this. I think it was one of the directors of Tour de France. Now that there's only eight teams, wanting that you can have, if your rider gets sick or injured, you can replace him with another
run. Yeah, like substitutions.
Okay, like a pinch
halfway runner. Through, we need a new climber.
Yeah. Now, when I first heard it, my question was, okay, well, maybe, no, I don't even know. I don't know how you go down that route other than, you know, that person gets no GC anything.
Yeah, but even still, like on that's a not Team the point. Sky, that would be devastating to bring in another fresh climber to set tempo, you know, the last week of the tour. That'd be
right
awful.
That's what I've always made fun of, like in basketball. Oh, you get a timeout, you get a halftime, you get to go sit on the bench. Right. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, I don't think that could, that would be terrible for the sport.
Yeah. I was surprised that it was I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was someone prominent in the sport, not just like my mom.
Although your mom's prominence in the sport, you know,
she would know enough not to do that. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so speaking of someone else prominent, the UCI president, I just want to kind of throw this back out, both of you. David Lapartient, you know, Chris, you're better at this.
Lapartient?
Okay. He talked about salary cap, and let me give you these two statements he made that were concurrent in back-to-back in Cycling Weekly. And see if there's any discrepancy in what we could kind of do with this. Okay, so here he goes. He goes, let me first say this. I am against a salary cap for the riders. Cyclists can earn as much as they want, and teams have to pay as much for a rider as they want. Okay, so that's basically saying, hey, they can do what they, you know, free to make as much as you want. But then he goes on to say, what am I talking about is introducing a ceiling for the team's budget in general, which means that if you pay a certain rider a high wage, you will have less money left for other riders. That means you would naturally have the strong riders better divided among various teams. Okay, so he's saying he wants a cycling cap for a team budget, but not for a specific rider. But I mean, but that actually goes right against the first sentence he said here, where he thinks any rider can make as much as he possibly wants. Cycling economics is such a fascinating thing to me because it's, I described it before as being, franchise. You know, these teams need to somehow get together, and you and Chris, Kurt and I, you and I had a conversation about how this whole thing is, whether it's union based or what have you. And it is, you know, I don't know that there's too many other sports where I'm sure there are, the discrepancies are so vast between a guy like, you know, Froome, who's making millions of dollars, and there's probably someone on his team, maybe not Sky so much. Let's maybe go to a Guymon, right? I think in his book, he talks about how you go out with one guy on the team and he's just, you know, he's making a lot of money, and then, you know, one guy's not, and there's a huge discrepancy of income there. What do you think about the cycling cap?
I think it would make a lot of sense that there would be a cap on the overall budget of a team, for sure. The major sports, I think every major sport has a salary cap. I can't think of one that doesn't. I don't know what the NHL does, but it seems like they all have it that way, and that makes perfect sense. Right now, you know, a team picks up one big sponsor and they could potentially go out there and grab a whole heck of a lot of riders and dominate, and it's kind of what Sky's done, right?
Yeah.
So
would they implement something in the way of, like, baseball's got a salary cap, but then you can pay a luxury tax or something of that nature? I'm sure the UCI would love that if they can get some additional money from the teams by implementing a cap in that nature.
Yeah.
See, they don't have any, and you, I totally get where you're going, and you talk baseball or football, and it's teams with, once again, cities that are, you know, kind of the main idea of the team, and you don't have a corporate sponsor, so to speak, right? And the revenue is from the fans coming into the sport, and then you have TV revenue sharing, and you have teams, players union. You don't have that with cycling, because Sky comes in, right? And then Sky's in for a few years and then they're out. And, you know, is it fair that, you know, that team wants everything they can get from that sponsor before that sponsor jettisons? So
right, yeah, there's the way the UCI is structured isn't set up like any other major professional sports, so there's a piece that's obviously missing. Something needs to be fixed. That cycling hasn't changed the way they've done things forever, yeah. Right? I mean, even at the amateur ranks, the whole sponsorship thing just seems bizarre to me. Something needs to change, at least in the UCI, to make it more competitive. Because I don't think Team Sky, honestly, is good for the sport. I don't like watching it. I know we've had arguments about this, whether or not it's good or not. But
I would say arguments, discussion.
Well, we talked about whether or not more smaller teams made sense. I think that makes for more exciting racing. But sure. To do that, then you have to, yeah, there's things that you have to do to make that all work.
I will willingly say I don't know, and I'm open to any kind of suggestions. I just think that anytime you make a suggestion, like any of these, you need to start following the logical thread of how it affects the sport in multiple facets. So you don't just kind of pull on this thread that unwinds the whole thing at the same time too. You know, you're right. Sky comes in. It's easy. Look, this whole thing by the UCI president is, I would imagine, based on Team Sky, right? That's because they're successful. They're winning. They've got a huge budget. You know, they got these extra media van thing that they had going on. You know, that's just ridiculous. And yet, and the same thing is, you applaud when Sky comes into the sport with a ton of money as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we haven't thought about it a lot, but you don't want to Brexit and then Google what Brexit means the next day, right? Like, so, right, you're 100% correct. You need to think
What's
it
Brexit?
Through. But you could look at what the other professional sports and the way they're structured. You could probably start to put something together. At some point, you almost wonder if the sport needs to go through something cataclysmic that sort of reshuffles the deck. And does that, you know, maybe there needs to be like an XFL that comes along and and steals a few riders. We'll see.
Little known fact, President Trump was, you know, he sued the NFL, and I think he won because he was the XFL owner.
Was he XFL? I'm sorry, USFL.
USFL.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you're thinking of He Hate Me,
yes.
The XFL.
Correct.
It's so right. They're all both so pathetic that I can't even cross my.
Well, the USFL had Herschel Walker, and they may have had
and
John
Steve
Elway.
Young.
Oh,
that's
okay.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair.
I think his win though was literally like 25 cents or $20 or something like that. Anyway, we don't need to go down that road. Okay, so you're looking for, you know, they had an alternative cycling league at one point. I want to say in the 90s, and it was based on cities in the U.S., and Franco Harris owned the Pittsburgh team.
Okay.
And it didn't work out, as you can imagine.
Okay.
It looked like Kieran, like Kritz, but it was kind of like Kieran. They had the helmets and stuff. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Take a look at it.
You probably thought it would work out. Do you know why?
Because he's Franco Harris?
No, because of the Immaculate Reception. Remember?
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
things just work out for Franco
That's
Harris.
That's true.
Okay. If they did it now, Barry Bonds would own like the San Francisco team, though, right? Because he's into cycling.
He is, yeah.
Actually, there was another guy. Who's the other football player that's into cycling now? He's a former tight end.
Oh, his dad played in the NFL
for San Diego
Chargers.
Winslow.
Winslow. Kellen Winslow's son.
Yeah. I wonder how he's doing.
I don't know. But he was like a Cat 3, and he was right. He talked about going. He wanted to go pro.
Right. Conor McGregor used cycling for training for his last fight.
Eric Burns, the baseball player for the Oakland A's,
now an ultra runner.
Yeah, he's like ultra. Well, he does like both, all three sports. Are running, swim. He does triathlon type stuff.
Reggie Miller, he's a mountain biker.
Really?
Is he really?
Oh. He really is. Yeah, 6'8" or 6'6".
I bet he just has Spike Lee yelling at him the whole time. As he rides, that's his whip. No.
Yeah, I forget that commercial, but yeah, it could be that. True.
I did see Bonds at the Santa Fe Twilight a few years ago. He was out watching the race. So it was cool to see him out there.
Yeah, he's a big guy, right? Like height-wise?
He's 6'3", yeah.
Okay, so he's not abnormal.
No, but he's a big...
Not like when Shaq, I saw him buy a mountain bike several years ago.
Oh,
and someone had to custom make it. It's like made out of field goal posts or something
probably,
like that.
Patrolling for the police because he was like
he's a sheriff or something like that.
Exactly.
Crazy shit. So just we were talking about the river ride, and Shackman was out here. You were talking about Max Shackman.
Maximilian.
He was on the Thanksgiving ride.
Yeah.
But he was also on the river ride world championships, and it had me thinking about people who are world-class athletes doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing. I mean, he's on these rides. The Thanksgiving Day ride, he's not going to get injured. But doing the River Ride World Championships, you know, when I interviewed Dave, I made a comment, oh, he's going to be out there. And it was kind of a throwaway because I couldn't imagine that would actually happen.
Right.
But evidently he did. And, you know, we've talked about just earlier about the dangerousness of that ride. you know, we participate in, and the, some of the stuff we do. I don't know the sensibility of doing that as a pro in the winter when you've got this contract. You know, just some of the things I thought of because I saw on the web today was Luke Rowe, Sky. He broke his shattered his tibia and fibula in his right leg in more than 20 pieces when he jumped into a whitewater rafting course at his brother's stag party. I love that stag party in Prague in August. So he's trying to make a comeback, right? And he's doing that, which has nothing to do with cycling. And you could, you know, there goes your career. And then it just reminded me of some other ones. Bumgardner, who hurt himself in a motorcycle accident, I believe, a dirt bike accident this April. And then the famous one that I always remember was Jeff Kent back in, I think it was 2002, where he was, we were discussing this earlier. Was he riding his motorcycle, doing wheelies, or was he washing his car?
I think he's washing his truck. He's an honest guy. You got to take him at his word.
Okay, but I remember his contract. You know, some of these guys' contracts is you can't. Is his contract states you can't do X, Y, and Z of other sports. You know, hey, maybe no hang gliding this winter, you know, type of thing. You can't necessarily say Shackman can't go out and do the River Ride World Championships, but that's something a young kid should maybe veer away from.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little closer to
your sport.
Some of these other examples, like
I would take a look at that ride. And if I was Shackman's agent and say, hey, why don't you go do some dirt bike wheelies instead of the River Ride World Championship?
It's like you need a mentor in the area to tell you, you shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
You know, that would be perfect in a situation like that. But Jason Pierre-Paul, the Giants, do you remember him?
Well, did he cut a hand or something like that? No.
Well, yeah, he was holding a firework and it blew up in his hand.
Yeah.
He lost a few fingers. He still plays, though.
Okay. I'm trying to remember a guy, and this is years ago.
Tiger Woods. It was the Escalade accident.
No. Oh yeah. Put it something in a no. Denny's.
Never the same after that. By the way.
No. No, but some guy like cutting something. I don't remember what it was. Cuts his hand. You know, cutting garlic at home or something.
Michael Jordan with a cigar cutter cut his finger. It was his on his index finger on his shooting hand. Never shot the same. That was one.
I heard a great story. I was watching Billy Corgan on Smashing Pumpkins on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he had an amazing story about he and Dennis Rodman during the playoffs against Utah. And basically, check it out. It really has nothing to do with cycling other than Billy Corgan was hanging out with Rodman and trying to restrain him from being too wild and crazy.
In Utah.
Well, they played. They flew to Vegas and partied and played cards all night.
Yeah.
Flew back the next day and some guy is playing so Rodman could do practice. When practice is over, he's like, we're going back. And Corgan's like, no. He's like, yep. And Billy's like, I felt like I was the one that had to be responsible. So I went with him just to make sure he wasn't screwing around.
The rock band.
Yeah. And then he leaves and later on runs into Phil Jackson with his family and feels like just mad because this, you know, rock star. And he's like, no, you don't understand. I was there trying to control this guy. So if only Shackman had that kind of someone looking out for him here in Sacramento.
Right. Go on.
That's all I have for today. Do you guys have anything else?
Goes a long way. I don't know. That was it for me. I'm checking my notes. That's it.
Yeah, the only thing I've got here that
thank you
that came up is a social media plea from local Coffee Republic writers trying to get Kurt to come back to the ride.
Oh, yeah. He's
greatly missed.
Let's read that one. Read it out here.
So it comes from Chris Morris, a very strong rider in his own right. It says, remember the Coffee Republic days when guys like Kurt Mills would show up and attack every 5 minutes and no one would get mad? Those days are over. That made it a great workout and super fun. Come back, Kurt Mills.
Oh, well. That's really nice of him to say. Nobody got mad at that?
I don't think so.
What happened that, I guess, caused him to post that?
Because I do not know because I was not there.
There's more to it. That is a shot at somebody else in the form of a compliment to me, which I still will take.
But I think you should just view it as a compliment to you.
Okay, well, next episode we should determine what was the contributing factor to Chris deciding to post that. But
either way, the public wants to know when you're coming back to the Coffee Republic ride.
Yeah, when's that going to happen?
January. Yeah, probably first
Ouch.
Week. What?
No, I don't know. Yeah. I saw that note too, and it was impressive that he mentioned you. He didn't actually tag you in a way that you could read it yourself. So,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, surprised by that, but cool.
I don't know what happened. You know, some things get weird out there. Different rides. You know, they morph into different things, and certain people don't show or they do show. I haven't seen any problems that are happening out there lately, so I don't know.
It's probably true. It's probably not as good as it used to be.
Yeah. And I wanted to write back and say, I don't think you've seen Kurt ride lately. So
you're going to edit this part?
Yeah, I'll edit this part.
Yeah. Dog. It doesn't take much to come see me ride. I'm on Zwift at least once every couple of weeks.
They have so. Now you could do group rides with that. Is that correct?
Yes, you can. You can organize group rides.
And how do you organize those?
Those are details I'm not familiar with. I do know that Cycle Folsom, a local group here, is organizing a few winter group rides as we speak. But it allows you to basically just set a starting time, give people a link to a room, and they can join it, and you're all waiting to ride together, which is cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah.
Do you use the microphone feature when you ride?
I did last year. This is before they had the organization for the group ride, so you just had to kind of do it with the microphone and say, okay, everybody join this course now, and we're going to go in like 10 seconds and sort of see each other. A little awkward, Chris, if that's what you're getting at, because everybody's, you know, breathing heavily. Sure. And they don't all. There's a couple of options, right? Like you can have it set to just sense noise, and then it plays your audio, or push a button. Most people just don't have the push button option on. They're just waiting for it to sense noise. So a lot of guys are just breathing into the mic. It's kind of, it's strange.
I do need to get back on Zwift. I might do that for the rainy winter days.
Did you get your trainer?
I did get it.
Have you tested it?
I have tested it. It's not as stable as my...
Which model is it?
So I got the Elite Rodeo. Rodeo? I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Elite Rodeo?
Rodeo sounds better.
Yeah.
But it's kind of got a tripod setup, and it's not super stable. So I might spend the extra money and get something like a Kicker instead. I tried to go super low budget on a direct drive trainer, and so obviously
it didn't ship it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, or I might just go back to the traditional wheel-on trainer and run with that. It worked well for the past 3 years.
I'd get a Kicker. There's so much. It's fun to ride the trainer when you have it.
The interactive feature.
Yeah. Just even the rollers. You're going over rollers going into the final sprints on those, and it literally feels like you're on rollers. Like it feels like English Colony on the Coffee Republic ride.
What's the cost for one of those?
It's about $1,100.
Okay.
And maybe there's cheaper versions out there.
There's the Snap. I know they make that. It's a wheel-on one, and that's like $600.
Okay. So yeah, six to twelve, and they could probably go up to 18 if you want some different versions.
And so you're actually hoping for a good winter with a lot of rain and snow, so that you're forced to use this. So financially, it makes sense for you. Or do you just return it at the end of the year?
I sell it on eBay at the end of the year. Gotcha. So in like late January, you just put it on eBay and somebody buys it, and you lose, you know, $100, $200.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Cool.
You ever think about getting one?
Well, with that cost, I'm just not going to.
Well, you're outfitting two juniors and
Some four kids myself, and I still am looking for a new bike myself. Yeah, you look. Hey, that's a Grupo.
Right.
At some point. You know, I'm not destitute. I've got some money. Just where do you want to put it?
Right.
The money.
Food.
Yeah. Exactly. Anything else, gentlemen?
That's it.
Nope.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you.
Happy to be here.
Kurt, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah.